I want you to go ahead and open your Bible to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Heavenly Father, I thank you I can call you Father. I thank you that you are a prayer answering God. I thank you for the prayers that you've heard and answered in these recent weeks. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, your understanding. And Father, I understand today that there are those who are coming through their own storms. And the storms vary in type and intensity. And so I'm asking you, Father, to do what only you can do. I'm asking you to meet each individual at their point of need. I'm asking you to meet that point of need and, Father, grant them relief, comfort, and peace. Father, for those who have strayed, I pray that you will initiate a move in their heart to bring them home. For those who do not yet know you, I pray that you will initiate a move of your Holy Spirit, stirring their hearts, they might come to a saving knowledge of you. And Father God, I pray today for your anointing that I can teach this in such a way that it will be meaningful and significant to those who hear it. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. I want you to go ahead and open your Bible to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Scriptures so familiar, and yet if we're not careful, we allow them to lose their significance to us. The Word of God says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When God created the world, he created man with free will. He didn't want a robot. He didn't want a spiritual robot. He wanted man as an act of his free will to submit and surrender to his lordship. He was willing to adopt him into the family of God, all who would submit and surrender to his lordship. He was willing to adopt them into the family of God. And God himself took full responsibility for creating man with free will. You have to understand, you have free will. You can exercise that will for God. You can exercise that will against God. But you have free will. And God assumes full responsibility for creating man with free will. Knowing full well, God knew full well when he created man with free will, that man would use that free will to disobey him, to disobey him. And God also knew that when man disobeyed him, when man utilized his free will to disobey God, man would develop a sin nature. He would receive a sin nature. Each of us came into the world with a sin nature. We didn't develop the sin nature. It was already there, latent, waiting in us when we were born. So we were born with a sin nature. But God also knew that some would believe him, some would love him, and some would obey him. And for that purpose, God became flesh and dwelt among us. God became his own sacrifice for sin on a cross called Calvary. He came to the earth in human form, called himself Jesus of Nazareth. He came to earth with every intent and for the purpose of going to the cross to become his own sacrifice for sin for all who would believe. knowing that multitudes would not believe, knowing that multitudes would not receive the truth of the gospel, knowing that there would be those movements in the world of religion that would falsify, misrepresent, and represent and present a false gospel. Yet God came in the flesh and gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross called Calvary. So today we're going to take a look at that. I want you to open your Bible to John chapter 1. Then we're going to go to John chapter 3. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name." But as many as received is volitional. He offers himself. He offers the plan of salvation. He offered himself on the cross. He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. Not all will receive, but as many as who do receive, to them he gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now we're going to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we begin with verse 1. Now, these scriptures are so familiar to so many, and yet so strange to so many. So many in the world of religion, so many in the world of church, have never really understood this spiritual truth. And because they do not understand this spiritual truth, they remain in spiritual darkness. Religion is not the answer. Salvation is the answer. You have to understand the difference between the two. There's some 4,000 different religions in the world today. And out of those some 4,000 religions, only one will suffice. Christ. Christ on the cross. Christ crucified. Christ resurrected. Christ and Christ alone is the source of salvation. Now, some of you are thinking right now, "I got it, Bob. I got it down." Oh, do you? Do you really have it down? Well, let's just take a look at some of these scriptures and let's examine our hearts and let's examine our lives in light of the scriptures and let's just take note of how much of this we really understand. Beginning with verse 1 of John chapter 3, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." Now you have to understand there were three major religious organizations when Christ was on earth. And one of those was the Pharisees. You had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes. But the Pharisees, they were the predominant leading religious movement. And this man named Nicodemus was a member of the Pharisees, and he came to Jesus. He came by night. The Word of God tells us in John chapter 3, verse 2, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these miracles, these signs that you do, unless God is with him.'" Now, here was a man steeped in religion. Here was a man who had devoted himself to religion, but there was something missing. There was something lacking. Deep down in his heart, he understood he did not have the peace of God. He did not have the assurance of his right standing with God. He was searching for it. We don't know how often or if he had heard Jesus teach, maybe just heard about Jesus, we don't know. But there's a very good possibility he heard Jesus teaching and realized that Jesus had some insight into eternity, had some insight into eternal life that he himself did not possess. So he come to Jesus, and he came by night. And he says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher, come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus cut straight to the chase. Jesus wasted no time. He answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I think there is such a misunderstanding today in the world concerning what it really means to be born again. It's more than being religious. You can be extremely religious without ever being born again. You can live up to all the criteria and all the standards and all the guidelines of a chosen system of religion. You can be baptized into that system of religion, but that does not mean that you've been born again. No, being born again is an entirely different matter. And I want to try to make that clear to you because so many today think they're born again. And they're not born again. So many today are religious, but not born again. They don't really know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have never really been adopted into the family of God. And I want to discuss that with you today. So when this Nicodemus comes to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that your teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus cut straight to the chase. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That raised his eyebrows. That no doubt raised the eyebrows of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He didn't understand. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't understand. Here was a man trying to teach people how to get to heaven. Here was a man trying to teach people how to please God. Here was a man trying to teach people how to obey God, what they had to do to obey God. And he himself did not have any concept of the basics of Christianity. None whatsoever. Can a man, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He did not understand what Jesus meant by being born again. And let me make this perfectly clear to all listening. Being baptized is not being born again. Joining the church is not being born again. Being dedicated to God as an infant is not being born again. No, being born again is when you recognize that you are a sinner, that you have a sin nature, that you have sinned, you are sinning, and you will sin. And you have to come to grips with the reality that God is, and that God became flesh and dwelt among us, called himself Jesus of Nazareth. He came to demonstrate the life of God, the love of God. He came to teach what God requires, to teach the kingdom of God, to teach about citizenship in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus cut straight to the chase with this man, and Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." I want to slow down a moment, because I'm about to ruffle some feathers. I want you to understand that I see this. Born of water and the Spirit, born of the Spirit as being born again. Of course, you cannot be baptized until you've been born. So the first time you're born naturally. They talk about the mother's water breaking. When the mother's water breaks, the child is born. So one must be born naturally before they can be born spiritually. One is born spiritually, you see, to enter the kingdom of God. One must be born naturally. That's the first birth. And then born again. That's the second birth. Be born spiritually. It is called being born again. And that is why Jesus said that one must be born again. That which is born, Jesus continues, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, there is a natural childbirth when the mother's water breaks and the child is born naturally. There is a natural childbirth and there is a spiritual childbirth. A spiritual childbirth takes place when one recognizes themselves to be a sinner. They believe that God is. They believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They believe that Jesus is the only name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. So to be born again is to experience spiritual childbirth. The first time we're born in the physical. Say physical childbirth. We're born with a physical body. When we're born again, that is a spiritual childbirth. And at that point in time, according to the Word of God, we become new creations. Our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We are adopted into the family of God. We are then a child of God, and we continue throughout our life as a child of God. Once you understand this basic principle, you see, Nicodemus didn't understand that. Jesus saw it in his face. Jesus saw it in his eyes. I don't know how many of you listening to this today really truly understand what it means to be born again. It's just so much more than church membership. It is so much more than being baptized. It is coming to Christ, recognizing that you are a sinner, believing that he is the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Messiah, the only name given under heaven whereby men may be saved, and believing what Jesus said about you must be born again. Once again, do not marvel, Jesus said to Nicodemus, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. You see, Nicodemus, the first time you were born with a sin nature. You were born with a physical body. You're going to die. You're facing death, Nicodemus. To live forever, you got to be born again. If you want eternal life, Nicodemus, you must be born again of the Spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. Then Jesus goes on in John chapter 3 and verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is it everyone who is born of the Spirit. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear it, but you can't see it. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it is. You can't tell where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. That's the way it is with those who are born of the Spirit. It's a spiritual transaction. Not easily understood, but yet received in faith, in childlike faith. When one recognizes, I am a sinner, I was born with a sin nature, I have a sin nature, nobody had to teach me to lie, to cheat, to steal. Nobody had to teach me to sin. It all came naturally. Why? Because I have a sin nature. So you see, this matter of being born again, it's an operation of the Spirit of God on the spirit of man. Nicodemus answers and said, how can these things be? How can these things be? You're saying born again. What are you talking about? Here's a religious leader without spiritual understanding, and the world is full of that, folks. Today I'm here to say to you that the world is full of spiritual leadership who do not understand the very, very basics of Christianity. Some 4,000 denominations or organizations in the world. I'm a non-denominationalist. I was ordained as a Southern Baptist, but the time came when I knew the Lord was saying to me that I could not belong to any one identification. I just had to be a member of the body of Christ, and I had to minister to the body of Christ, the entire body of Christ. So here's a man, Nicodemus, is listening to a spiritual truth and doesn't understand it. How many week after week after week sit in a church and listen to spiritual truth without comprehending, without understanding? But then how many sit in a religious organization or a meeting of religious people week after week and do not hear religious truth, do not hear spiritual truth? They don't hear the word of God. They hear the word of man. And so they were born in sin. And if they remain in that condition, they will die in sin. And when they die in sin, they will go to hell. And there's no second chance. There's no second opportunity. It's just not there. How prevalent is all this today? How prevalent? Nicodemus, how many like Nicodemus, listening to the truth of the gospel, would have to say, how can these things be? I've never been taught this. I was christened as a child. I was told as an infant or when I became of age that because I had been christened as a child, I was right with God and that I would die and go to heaven. And they were lied to. They were told a lie. You see, so many are religious but not spiritual. So many are religious, but not spiritual. They have never come to a saving, personal, intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not only prevalent big time in the Catholic Church, but it's also prevalent in the Protestant Church, regardless of the denomination. Regardless of the denomination, there are so many who do not really truly understand this spiritual truth. And that explains, to some degree, why once we had the COVID lockdown, so many dropped out of church and never returned. That explains why so many are not back in church today. You were never part of the body of Christ. You made a profession of faith, but you did not possess faith. You made a profession of Christ, but you did not possess Christ. And that is why you are where you are today. And if you remain in that condition, you will die in that condition and go to hell in that condition. I'm just being honest with you. I'm simply teaching the word as the word speaks it. John 3:10, Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? You are a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these basic spiritual truths?" Do you realize how much of that exists in organized religion today? Do you know how many, do you realize how many occupy positions of religious leadership, teachers, if you will, who themselves do not have the foggiest idea what is really involved in coming into a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? They could not explain to you, if their life depended on it, what it means to be born again. Once again, Jesus said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" I say again, of a world such as that today, how many are trying to teach spiritual truth when they themselves do not even understand spiritual truth? In this day, we have so many denominations that have faltered, that have compromised, and are compromising. You see, you've got leadership at the denominational level that they themselves do not have the foggiest idea what it means to be born again, what it means to be a member of the family of God, what it means to be adopted into the family of God. And yet, we have all of these in positions of spiritual leadership who themselves do not understand spiritual truth. They've never received spiritual truth, never been taught spiritual truth. So it's they just don't even understand it. And they are making a system, a man-made system of religion. Folks, do you understand how prevalent that is in the world today? Do you understand how prevalent man-made systems of religion are in existence today? Do you realize how many are lacking spiritual truth, do not have spiritual truth, are not teaching spiritual truth, are not making disciples, filled with people who are on their way to hell? If they died right now, wherever they are, many of them would immediately go to hell. We come to John 3:11. I'm not being harsh. These are days for reality. These are days for reality, and we need to speak the word of God in truth and in love. And I speak what I speak to you today out of a heart of concern. I pray for religious leadership that doesn't know Jesus. I pray for people in denominational settings who are members of denominations that really do not understand the gospel. We've got whole denominations that are compromising, wavering. We've got denominations led by obviously people who don't know Christ as their Savior because of the decisions being made and things that are being implemented. I am trying to reach people. You see, there are people out there listening right now who are not born again, but God knows that someday you're going to be born again. But in order to be born again, you've got to hear the gospel. You've got to hear someone say, You must be born again. To be born again, you must receive Christ as your Savior. Not just a matter of belonging to a religious organization and attending that religious organization. It's a personal, one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ in which you realize you are a sinner. And that if you died in that condition, you would go to hell. And in realizing that, you come to Christ as a sinner, confessing I'm a sinner, and Jesus, there's a lot I don't understand, there's a lot I don't know, I don't know if I believe what I need to believe, but I want to believe, so help me believe. It's okay to say, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. I want to believe. I'm willing to believe. Help my unbelief. The world is full of individuals who need to pray that. So, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, we, notice that plural, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Our witness. In Jesus you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You have all three. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We, Jesus is the third, is a second member of the Godhead. So you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So he says to him, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Here he speaks in the plural. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have seen, we have heard, we speak. Perhaps he speaks of himself, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. That's the way I see it, folks. That's how I see it. I've read different interpretations of Scripture on this, but I just got to go with what I feel the Lord has shown me, because I think there's a world of misunderstanding out there. I know there's a world of misunderstanding out there of what it means to be right with God, what one has to do to get right with God. What does one have to do to get right with God? Recognize you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. Believe that he was a sacrifice for your sins, that he died on the cross, took your sins upon himself. Those sins were put to death in himself. Then he was taken from the cross, buried, but rose again. And after 40 days, ascended back into the glory, sitting at the right hand of God the Father now, interceding for us, hearing and answering our prayers, answering our prayers. So many do not understand that. We get to John 3:12. Jesus said, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? He reverts back to the singular. Now, in the previous verse, he said we. Here he says I. So he reverts back to the singular, meaning, of course, himself. John 3:13. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. You see, Jesus, in his pre-incarnate appearance, Jesus, God in the flesh, Son of God, God in the flesh, Messiah. He is, in his pre-incarnate appearance, God in the flesh. In his pre-incarnate appearance, he appeared, in a pre-incarnate appearance to Abraham. We see him appearing to Abraham in a pre-incarnate appearance. There were those points in time prior to his coming to earth, and we saw him, of course, speaking to those in his day. But we see him talking to Abraham, speaking to Abraham in a pre-incarnate appearance. In John chapter 3 and verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, remember that they broke into idolatry and sin, and God, they were murmuring and grumbling and complaining and fussing and disbelieving, and God loosed a venomous serpent from among them, and they were biting them, and they were dying, and Moses cried out to God, and God told him to make a serpent, and brass serpent, and hang it on a pole, and everybody who looked at it would live. Of course, that was symbolic of the fact that Christ was going to be hung on a pole, and that all who looked to Christ would be born again, be saved, and be saved from eternal death. And so Moses obeyed God, and you had many who said, that's ridiculous. I don't believe that for a heartbeat. And they didn't look. You see, we've got that today. You've got those today who are eat up with religion, but they never understood the gospel. And they don't believe the gospel. So they don't look to Christ and Christ alone. You've got how many trying to live up to some religious standard? You've got how many trying to, in some way, appease God and obey God and please God in the flesh? To no avail, none whatsoever. So Jesus, in giving this illustration, telling what God did here, foresaw his own crucifixion. He saw himself being lifted up on a cross, and all who would look to him, all who would believe, could be saved from death, could be born again. John 3:15, Jesus goes on, "That whosoever believes him should not perish but have eternal life." Whosoever, regardless of their race, regardless of the color of skin, regardless of who they are, what they are, regardless of their station in life, regardless of what they own or don't own, regardless of what they live in, where they live, whatever, whosoever believes the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever, regardless of the depth of sin they are in, regardless of how long they have been in sin, if they will acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and the only sacrifice for sin that God will recognize, if they will simply recognize that, realize that, and confess to the Father, confess to God, "I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. I want to be saved." And then those who pray that, believing, who embrace the gospel, that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He was God in the flesh hanging on that cross. He was a member of the Godhead, and yet he was God himself as well. Praying for those who were crucifying him, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." But you see, it wasn't just those who crucified him that hung him on a cross. I put him on a cross. I put Jesus on a cross. Every one of us who've been born again put Jesus on the cross. He went to the cross to put our sins to death in himself. You must understand something. In the truest sense of the word, God does not forgive sin. He forgives sin on the basis of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It is the blood that cleanses from our sins. And when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then when we are living in Christ, when we've been born again, we want to be sin-sensitive. Every time we sin, we want to recognize that sin and take that sin to God in confession. So, we know this. Whosoever regardless of their station in life, regardless of their race, regardless of their position in life, regardless if they recognize themselves as a sinner, recognize Christ as the Son of God, recognize Him as the Messiah, the one who died for their sins on the cross, was buried and resurrected and has gone back to glory, if they will simply embrace that truth, embrace that gospel truth, then they will be born again and they themselves become new creations in Christ Jesus. We come to verse 16 of John chapter 3. For God so loved the world. Let me pause for a moment. For God so loved the world and everybody in it. God so loved the world and everybody in it, of every race, every color, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every country, of every lifestyle. God loved them. God loved them. He loved the deepest sinner. We were all sinners. Those of us who've been born again, we're just sinners saved by grace. And some of us were deeper in sin than others. But the point is, the church is made up of people who were sinners, who've come to Christ, believed Christ, received Christ in faith as their Lord and Savior, been born again, have become new creations, adopted into the family of God, and as such, the moment their heart quits beating, they go to glory. As opposed to those who do not know Christ, who have not been born again, and they themselves, the moment the heart beats, stops, goes to hell. Once again, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I have no doubt, I've talked to some people today, Satan has said to you, it's a wrap for you. It's over. What you've done, where you've been, what you did, what you are, what you said, God's not going to have anything to do with you. He's a liar. You go to God confessing you're a sinner. You go to God confessing, say, Lord, I have sinned. I'm a sinner, and I want to be born again. I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. You go to Him confessing you're a sinner and asking Christ to come into your heart by faith, be your Lord, be your Savior. You're going to be born again, and you're going to become a new creation, and your sins were put to death in Christ. Your sin debt will be paid. Your sin is forgotten, and you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The world and every human being ever born has access to eternal life through Jesus Christ. Every human being yet to be born has access to eternal life through Jesus Christ. All have access to eternal life through Jesus Christ. Christ said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. They have to be born again spiritually. Religious identification is not sufficient. Belonging to a religious organization is not sufficient. Belonging to a religious movement is not sufficient. Religious participation is not sufficient. None of that. No. You must be born again. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? You must be born again. One has to acknowledge themselves to be a sinner. I'm trying so hard to make this so simple so anyone and everyone can understand it. And those of you who say you're there, does your life prove it? Are you living a separated life? Are you living a godly, holy, separated life? Are you compromising? Are you standing with one foot in the world and one foot in the family of God? That being the case, I question your salvation. One must acknowledge, one has to acknowledge themselves to be a sinner. They must acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and that his is the only name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. That's a must. Christ and Christ alone. Mary can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. Pope can't do it for you. Priest can't do it for you. No, it's Christ and Christ alone. And in childlike faith, in simple childlike faith, receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. But I believe, I want to believe, help me believe, I want to believe in you as my Lord and my Savior. I believe, help me, help my unbelief, help me believe. And he'll do that. He'll do that. When this is done in childlike faith, one is then born again. And are at that time adopted into the family of God as a child of God. Then begins the process of sanctification. What is sanctification? Sanctification is being set apart from the world for Jesus Christ. Sanctification is spiritual growth. It is a continuing, becoming more and more Christ-like. And only God in heaven knows what he may have to introduce into your life and my life to get us more Christ-like. He knows what to apply. He knows when to apply the pressure. He knows where to apply the pressure. He knows how to apply the pressure to get us more Christ-like. John 3:34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. Christ Jesus is without spiritual limitation. He has no spiritual limitation. He is God in the flesh. God and Jesus are one. He is God in the flesh. And as such, he went to the cross. You see, his death on the cross, his blood, was the only sacrifice God would accept for sinful man. John 3:35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. God the Father has given Christ the Son total, complete authority. Absolutely complete, total authority. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Friend, you do not want to experience the wrath of God. The wrath of God is the eternal separation from God forever in a place called hell, with no chance whatever of escape. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should suffer, that any should perish. God does not want one single soul to die and go to hell. Not one. God does not want one single soul to die and go to hell, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to make two or three closing comments and shut this down. At death, you either go to heaven or to hell. There's no such place as purgatory. That's a lie out of hell. There is no such place as purgatory. You can't find it in the Bible. It's not there. Why is it not there? Because it doesn't exist. Purgatory is a false doctrine of the Catholic Church. Pure and simple. Just that simple. But then that's not the only false doctrine in the Catholic Church, as well as many other religious organizations. Notice I didn't say church. I said religious organizations. Jesus makes it clear that eternity is settled at death. Once the heart beats the last time, it's over. It's finished. He does so in his teaching further in Luke chapter 16. But I just want to close out with prayer, and then I want to ask those of you who are not absolutely proof, positive, sure, that if your heart quit beating in the next 24 hours, that you would go to glory. I want to pray, and I want you to be willing to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart as we close the message out today. But first, let me pray. Father God, I ask you to take this message and birth it into the heart of each and every individual who has heard it. I ask you to seal this message in the heart. Father, you got a lot of false doctrine to cut through. I understand that. You got a lot of false religious systems to cut through. I understand that. You got a lot of misunderstanding to cut through. I understand that. But I'm just simply asking you, my Lord and my God, to take this message. Send them to the Word of God. And Father, for those who are in those systems of religion that was inspired by Satan himself as a substitute system of religion, oh, Father God, bring them out of that system of religion. Send them to a church where the gospel is preached, Father God, where the Word of God is preached without compromise, and lead them to a saving, saving knowledge of yourself. And this I ask in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray you'll take this message today and use it in the life of every single solitary individual who has heard it. And this I pray and ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Want to go before the Lord in prayer today. As we close the broadcast out, we're going to pray for two or three items concerning the nation, and then we're going to pray for you as well. Well, I want to pray, ask the Lord to rid the church of compromise, of spiritual apathy. We want to pray asking God to do that. We want to ask the Lord to rid the denominations of compromise, to install godly leadership in the denominations in the nation. We need to ask God to deliver us from the agents of Satan in our national and state leadership. So let's pray that, then I'm going to pray for you. I appreciate you having prayed for me. I'm going to pray for you, okay? Heavenly Father, we simply ask you in this hour, in this day, in the life of this nation, to move in this nation in such a way that you rid the church, the churches, of compromise. Father, there's so much spiritual apathy in the church today. And we're asking you to move in the churches, revitalize the church, energizing the church, convicting and convincing and illumining the churches. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for you to just absolutely destroy the system of compromise operative in the church today and stir our hearts to get rid of the spiritual apathy. And then, Father, we ask you to rid all the denominations of compromise. Install in each denomination's godly leadership. Father, we fail to understand how some can be godly leadership who are calling for the church to compromise in such way as they're asking the church to compromise. So we're asking you, Father God, to rid the denominations of compromise, of leadership that compromises. And Father, we're asking you to deliver us from the agents of Satan in our national, at the national level, as well as the state level in our government. We need a move of God. Heavenly Father, we're asking you for a move of your Holy Spirit in this year, in this new year. We're asking you for a move of your Holy Spirit, destroying the strongholds of Satan, reducing the impact and effect of Satan on the nation and the nations of the world. So, Father, if you'll do this, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And, Father, today I pray for those in our radio congregation who are suffering. I pray for those in our radio congregations who are coming through periods they don't understand, coming through periods of affliction, perhaps. And I'm just asking you the name of Jesus to touch them with comfort and peace, Father. Bring release, bring healing, bring restoration. And, Father, I'm just simply asking you to glorify yourself in your body, the body of Christ on earth today. And, Father, bring relief, bring release, and bring comfort. And I bless each and every one of you who are suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. I bless you in the name of Jesus with comfort, peace, healing, and restoration. And, Father God, if you'll hear the prayer, hear the blessing, honor the blessing, honor the prayer, we will give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thanks for being a part of our video congregation today. Until we get a chance to do this again, be blessed.